Lord, may we hear your voice and know your presence amongst us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've probably heard the saying, you are what you eat. Now, you might be surprised that by that standard, I've become the world's best snowboarder because I've been living on donuts and hamburgers and hot chocolate for 2 weeks. But sadly, I don't think that holds much water. Perhaps a better version, a spiritual version of that saying is that you become what you worship. Because worship is about a relationship with whatever we see as having ultimate value for our lives. The things that we invest our lives into, the things that we put our hope and our trust, these are the things that we mirror in our own lives. And given enough time and practice, this kind of worship shapes the people that we become. It shapes our present. It makes sense of the past. And most importantly, it creates the future, which is why the writers of Scripture are so very particular about letting us know whom we should be worshiping. Put simply, the call to worship is a call to character. Today we heard three voices that speak about the importance of worship and the development of character, from Micah, from Paul, and from Matthew. Each have something important to say about the kind of people that we are meant to be, that we are meant to become. The writers of Scripture knew full well that people end up looking like their gods. So those who worshipped wood and stone become as blind and deaf and as hard and as inflexible as those materials. In Micah's day, people found it hard to see and to hear what was real. And their reason for their deafness and blindness is striking. Their relationship with God had turned inside out. Instead of having a relationship grounded in gratitude, in God's great work of freedom by delivering them from Egypt, a work that was grounded ultimately in God's love, their relationship had become transactional. They believed only in their own obedience, and it reshaped how they saw and related to God. So instead of seeing God's love, they only saw the need to appease God. If only they could pray more or offer more or obey God more, then God would be obliged to do what they wanted when they wanted it. Micah saw it quite differently. And so it is with no small amount of irony that God calls out this transactional approach. Do you think God wants thousands of rams sacrificed to him? Or huge rivers of oil outpoured? Do you think God wants you to sacrifice your own children? God's word to Micah is simple. God doesn't want a transactional relationship. He wants you. God wants to work in your character. God wants to bring his character out through you. So what does God want from his people? Well, it's not richly adorned temples, nor is it voluminous sacrifices performed correctly. It's not even having all the right theology worked out. What God wants is simple. God wants his people to do justice. God wants his people to love kindness. God wants people to walk humbly with himself. Micah's message is stark, isn't it? If privilege is pervasive, and all that anyone ever thinks about is getting their share, then, quite simply, they won't be able to see God at all. And if all anybody does is tear down others and think the worst of them, chances are they're not going to hear God either. And if all they think is that God agrees only with them, then chances are they are walking by themselves. Micah's message is striking. God is interested in whether we act fairly towards others. God is interested in whether we show compassion towards others. God is interested in whether we are willing to sit in the back row and listen to God. It's as simple and as hard as that. Sadly, most people didn't get Micah's message. We see this problem when Jesus comes along, and we hear it most clearly in our reading from Matthew, the reading that's often known as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes speak of our relationship with God, not in terms of sacrifice or obedience or loyalty or our willingness to die or to kill others. No, the Beatitudes speak of a relationship as a state of blessedness, a blessing that emerges from a relationship with God. And the themes of justice and compassion and humility repeat themselves over and over through Jesus' message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus. I wonder, what do you hear in that? Humility. Those who recognize their own spiritual neediness don't need to go chasing power for themselves. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I wonder, what do you hear in that? Compassion. Those who empathize with others resonate with what's on God's heart. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I wonder, what do you hear there? Justice. Those who make room for others create the future. In case you missed those three themes the first time, Jesus goes on to repeat them. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What's that about? Doing justice. Those who want fairness won't be left empty-handed, is Jesus' promise. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. I wonder what's going on there. Compassion. Those who see the best in others will know that God is prepared to overlook their own shortcomings too. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Humility is what we hear once again. Purity is not about being compulsive with obedience. It's about resonating with God's heart. And in case you missed these themes the second time around, Jesus says it all again a third time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Justice is heard again. Because making peace means doing really hard stuff, which is what God does for us. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I wonder if you hear another call to compassion. People who are prepared to suffer for doing what's right. I might add, not make other people suffer. That is what's at stake here. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. This is a call again for humility, because when those in power hate you, when they laugh at you and twist everything you say and do, when they are prepared to knock you senseless, there just isn't any room for anything else. Rejoice and be glad, says Jesus, for your reward in heaven is great. justice, compassion, humility. These are a call to character. These values are meant to be lived out in our ordinary, everyday lives, in a world that is filled with injustice and retribution and arrogance. These values are meant to make the world a better place. But of course, God knows just how hard it is for us to show that kind of character. Because when people start laughing at us or having a go, who here rejoices? Not many. And when people start persecuting us for wanting to see justice done and for people to be treated with compassion, we have a habit of going quiet, don't we? And when making peace is necessary, how often do we find that our courage has run away? God knows that our hearts are filled with so many things other than His purposes. God knows full well how judgmental we are. God knows how our own appetites cause us to fill our lives with things that are anything but righteous. God knows that we like nothing more than getting our own way. It's really hard for us to admit to ourselves just who we really are. So there's a gap. We are called to have character, but we can't make it on our own. We can't develop justice and compassion and humility by working harder or longer at these things. We can only grow this kind of character through worship, by knowing the one who has moved heaven and earth for us. Paul understood this well. He understood what was on God's heart. He saw that the only way to develop the kind of character that does justice, that loves compassion, that values humility, is the one that knows the height and the depth and the breadth of God's love. Because it is love that Jesus ultimately showed throughout His life. It was love that took Him to the cross. It was love that held Him there. And it's this love that calls us all into God's work in the world, so that God's character can grow in us and through us to change this world. Paul puts it quite bluntly, doesn't he? It's obvious, says Paul. Whenever anyone says that, it's often hardly obvious to anyone. It's obvious, says Paul, that God deliberately chose people that are overlooked and exploited and treated as nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. All that we have, Paul adds, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. God is in the business of building character, creating people who love to do justice, who are passionate about kindness, and who value humility. Because that is just who God is. God didn't send a general to save us, but His own Son. God was not afraid of being humiliated because Christ went to the cross. God is not embarrassed or ashamed by us because Christ shows us just how far God is prepared to go to build character through a relationship with His people. God wants to work in you and through you, whether you're big or small, whether you're strong or weak, whether you're rich or poor. There is simply no right side of the tracks, nor so wrong side of the tracks with Jesus. So if you want more character, if you want to see more justice happen, If you want to love compassion a little bit more, if you want to learn more from God, then come to God's table and ask Him for it. The journey of a lifetime starts at God's table. It starts with our feet that walk forward. It starts when our hands reach out. It starts when our hearts are open to hear and to be with God. And my friends, that's what worship is all about. Amen.